Hello, check, check, test, test. Testing to see if we're broadcasting yet. Having difficulties trying to connect. It seems like something's wrong in the connection today. The overflow. Hey, I am on this time. Fantastic. Folks, I'm sorry for the delay. I was talking for a few minutes there, and I could not verify that I was actually online. So I must have gotten misrouted somehow. That does happen. And it appears that the overflow channel is also down today. So I apologize for the technical difficulties. This is not a CBS is not looking over their shoulder and ABC and stuff and NBC saying, "Oh, what's happening with Truth Radio now?" How so? It's actually kind of a low budget kind of setup. Well, an expensive low budget setup. But we're trying to get all of this to work, to get everything to work. The overflow channel appears to not be working today. It appears to have a lot of static, but I am transmitting. It appears. On the main line, in other words, the one available through that runs through Windows Media Player. This is your host, Paul Abramson, editor of creationism.org, and you're listening to The Smart Hour. And it is Wednesday, June 20th, 2007. Yesterday on the program, we talked about judicial review. I'll give you a brief recap and then move into today's topic, which hopefully is also should be a very interesting one, called Electromagnetic Pulse, the danger of an electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear explosion detonated high in the atmosphere. That's what we're going to talk about today. Yesterday, though, I had a special show that I considered very important. There are things called catalyzing events. In other words, one event happens and it catalyzes other things to happen. Okay? For example, Pearl Harbor or 9/11 were attacks on America that both catalyzed America to go to war. Within a day, it changed an entire country. It changed the United States, the attitude, so that suddenly everything was different within a short period of time. The stock market crash in 1929, that was another catalyzing event. It led later to bank failures and stuff like that. Catalyzing events are not always negative. They can be positive. Think of the invention of the printing press. Okay, 1450s, Gutenberg invents the printing press. That, then, many people contend, helped to catalyze the Protestant Reformation around 40, 50 years later, because people, the first thing they started printing was the Bible. So mass printing the Bible, making it available, started changing. People could read for themselves what the Bible said. It started changing theological views. Now, I'll just mention this for history, because I like remembering history accurately. Not, it's not everything in history that is good. However, history, I believe, needs to be remembered accurately. excuse me there for coughing. I'm a proponent of that. So I'll mention, the reason I'm mentioning this is because there is a little bit of a parallel, and if we remember history accurately, then that helps us to understand things that are going on. Okay, Gutenberg invents the printing press. The very first thing they're printing is the Bible. The next thing that was being printed was pornography. Okay, that was the next thing that was coming off the printing presses, okay? I know that's odd, but that was part of it. Okay, now I want you to think of the parallel of today with the Internet. The Internet provides us fantastic resources for research, right? It gives us all kinds of ability to see alternate news sources. It gives us, for Bible study, there are Bibles in all kinds of languages now online, even more than just say 2 years ago. There's Bibles in just about every language you can imagine, at least partially, now on the Internet. It's fantastic. What a resource. At the same time, though, okay, and all kinds of other information, some good, some bad information, anybody's opinions, blog sites, all kinds of different news and views on and everything. Plus, one of the main things out on the Internet, or a big thing, is things like pornography, right? Okay, so I mentioned that because there is a little bit of a parallel there, okay? I'm just saying that for a historical context. Now, the printing press was a catalyzing event. It helped to change Western society. I would contend another catalyzing event, completely different, was back in 1962-63 in the United States when they took prayer and the Bible out of the public schools. What happened within a few years? Now, that actually was the result of another catalyzing event, and that was belief that the beginning of the Bible wasn't true anymore. When evolution started getting emphasized in the schools starting in the late 50s, early 60s, with Sputnik being launched, in October of 57, people thought, oh, no, the Russians are ahead. We need to emulate them, or we need to catch up in science. And tragically, a science falsely so-called, a pseudoscience, evolution, tagged along with the real sciences. And, of course, evolution is much more theology than science, claiming God made mistakes or God wasn't needed for everything to come into being. That's what evolution teaches, of course, when you boil it down. But as a catalyzing event that began to change attitudes in America of taking prayer and the Bible out of schools, it was a slow change. It took many years. You had in the late 60s something called the generation gap. It wasn't a generation gap. That's the wrong name for it. That wasn't what it was. It was a values gap. You had a change. Now, it was generally along generational lines, but you had people who believed this life is a time of learning and testing. We are going to answer to God for what we've done in this life. And you had this whole new set of people, many of them being younger people, saying, hey, get it now. Groovy, man, you know, do it. If it feels good, do it. And so a very different value system. Generation gap was not a generation gap. If it was, how come that term didn't exist in the 40s? Why isn't it used today? It wasn't a generational gap. It was a values gap. That's what it actually was. Okay, now, let's see, catalyzing event. Judicial review. I believe if we do three things, this is what I talked about yesterday, this is what my Google video is about of rescuing America. If we do three things, it will catalyze the rest of the changes that will repair America. One is you and I on a daily basis need to get honest news, that on a daily basis we'll be empowered rather than disempowered and confused. Like, wow, another terrible thing happened. Oh, how did that happen? Well, the way the left-wingers are telling us the news, the left-wing media, it's designed a certain way. It's designed to deceive, at least partially deceive, and to push us towards socialized medicine, to push us away from Christianity, to push us away from normalcy. Well, stop putting junk in your mind. You put junk in your body? Well, you shouldn't. Okay, not too much, as long as you get some vitamins, too. But I mean, you got to put good food in your body. You got to put good food in your mind, in your soul, right? So one is we got to repair our news sources. That's you and me, and we can control that. Two is we got to change the schools, privatize the schools. I have a whole thing on that. It's mentioned in the video. I don't really delineate the whole thing all out, but I discuss it, and I give the numbers. I mean, how much money we're spending per student now. Let the current schools keep their infrastructure. Let them keep the buildings. Let them keep the buses. Let them keep everything. All we need is a voucher system that gives the parent control rather than bureaucrats. And everything would resolve itself at a conservative amount of $4,700 per student per year. You divide that out. If you have 50 students saying, hey, yeah, we want to try your new school, that's $235,000 in a year, right? $4,700 times 50. You could then hire three teachers at $50,000 each, plus one school secretary at $35,000. You've now spent $185,000. That leaves you $50,000 left, which is about over $4,000 a month for your facilities and books and stuff. You and I and two other people could start a school, right? Okay, I know I went over the numbers quickly, but consider, okay, so one is you and I need to get news. Two, we need to stop them from destroying our kids. Three is we need to end judicial review. If we do those three things, judicial review being unconstitutional, what is constitutional? It's citizen review. We don't like the laws that the legislators make. Throw the bums out. Every 2, 4, and 6 years, we have the right to elect and re-elect them. Okay? That's who the final arbiter should be of law in the United States, not unelected judges who use a magic word. We've decided that we want, I'm going to use a hypothetical case, that, you know, all children should be on leashes when they're out in public, and all dogs should not be on leashes. And to not do that is unconstitutional. They're using a magic word. It is not the law of the land when a judge says that. It is unconstitutional for a judge to say unconstitutional. It is based on a court case, Marbury versus Madison from 1803. It is not based on the Constitution nor an amendment to the Constitution, and a court case does not rise to the level of an amendment to the Constitution. Therefore, judicial review is inherently unconstitutional. How come you never heard of that before? Well, I'll tell you why, because we've been in a fog. Jesus told us very clearly, and I read about a dozen verses from the Bible yesterday, in the end times, do not be deceived. Take heed that you're not deceived. Many will be deceived. Folks, the deceptions are on many levels. I'll give you three of them quickly. One is, oh, gee, judicial review. Oh, yeah, that's the, yeah, well, gee, darn, the courts made it legal to kill children right up until the age where they're being born. I guess that's the law now, because they said to not do that is unconstitutional. No, it isn't. Well, of course, we had the previous president. He signed that stuff into law also. But it's been blocked by the courts ever since then to stop partial birth abortions. I want to ask you something. I want you to think about this if you're an American. Nazi Germany. Remember the Nazis? They killed 6 million Jews. Man, are they going to get it on Judgment Day, right? They stood by while that happened, right? 6 million Jews were killed while the Nazis were in control of Germany, and the average citizens didn't do anything about it. Boy, those German citizens from that time sure are going to get judge charged, aren't they? Are they? Compared to American citizens of today? It's like 15 million children have been aborted, and all we have to do is go to the polls and elect life from the culture of, you know, people representing from the culture of life. If every Christian went to the polls, rather than only half, just like the regular population, it would change the country. But people don't vote. So my plan probably won't happen, because there's enough people out there who will say, oh, well, gee, you mean I got to read something with content in it, rather than read what's happening with Paris Hilton today? I heard she broke a nail in jail. Okay, so you get the idea. Folks, we're going into a break. I'm going to finish up with just mentioning judicial review. I want to emphasize it one more time, and then we're going to talk about electromagnetic pulse. You're listening to Smart Hour. Please stay tuned after these messages. Okay, so folks, thank you. Welcome back to the Smart Hour. I apologize again for the late start to the show. I had made the connection that I'm supposed to make. However, it wasn't something wasn't quite right. I did talk for a couple minutes. I was not able to verify that I was actually broadcasting. So I, disconnected, reconnected, and hey, suddenly I was live. So I do apologize for the late start of the show. You're listening to the Smart Hour. It is Wednesday, June 20th, 2007. By the way, it is likely that 1 week from today, the 27th, we probably will have guest speakers for 2 or 3 days at that time. So a week from now. I'll mention this again as it gets closer. And then we may go into reruns for a week and a half. We've never gone into reruns on this program before. I've only been broadcasting since February. Each day has been a live broadcast. I've had guest speakers several times. As you know, Dr. Dennis Swift has been in talking about dinosaurs and man's living together. Thomas Hines has written several books in the creation-evolution debate. We've had Lloyd and Doris Anderson, the curators of the Mount St. Helens Creation Information Center. And so several times we've had guest speakers in the program. I hope that's been interesting for you. And the archives for this program are available at truthradio.com or truthradio.info. That's T-R-U-T-H-R-A-D-I-O, truthradio.com or .info. On the left side, I think it's about 4 or 5 things down. Click where it says archives of previous shows. And then you'll want to select by show. You go by the last name, so mine happens to be on the top, Abramson Smart Hour. SMART, again, stands for science, mathematics, and revealed truth. Revealed truth being things like the Bible, in other words, above a science. Science is limited to the few dimensions that humans are able to see and measure and interpret data down into. It's kind of funny when people think science is the end-all, be-all, because that's kind of pre-Galileo in its way of thinking, like everything revolves around our understanding or it doesn't exist. We're going to hold our breath and close our eyes or something like that. When we know, according to mathematics and physics, that there are more dimensions than what we can regularly see. There appears to be 10 dimensions out there, only 4 of which are knowable. Anyway, well, we talk about that sometimes on the program here, that creation theory is completely logical. It is completely logical, completely scientific, matches with true history. There's no science which stands against the Bible. The earth is not millions of years old. That's ridiculous. It's impossible. The rivers haven't been running long enough. There's no river in the world that's been running even 1 million years. And they think the world is over 1 billion years old, over 2 billion years old, 3, 4, 4.5 billion years old. When all the rivers, the major rivers, only date at thousands to tens of thousands of years old. I don't think there's a single river that at current rates dates at more than a few thousand or, say, 10 or 20,000 years old. And creation theory, At a 6,000 years old, Earth can account for that just fine. Helium is accumulating in the upper atmosphere. Salts are accumulating in oceans. These are all measurable things. The Earth's spin is slowing down. The Earth's magnetic field is decaying. There are all kinds of one-way processes that show we live on a young planet Earth. There are three main deceptions. I'll mention three of the main deceptions. We know many deceptions today. One is evolution. One is this global warming. It's amazing to me how people have been swept up into this. But it's not true. Here's a video to watch. It will come out in July from Britain. It actually was broadcast on British TV. I have seen a copy of the video, but it officially does not exist yet. A very good video called The Great Global Warming Swindle. That title again, The Great Global Warming Swindle. Take a look at that. It should come out in July. What was the third one I was going to mention? Deceptions in our age. Judicial review, which is what we talked about yesterday. So get yesterday's program. Okay, so today, we're almost halfway into the program, and you wouldn't know what the title of what we were talking about today, except that I had mentioned it, would you? Okay, sometimes there's this guy who's on this program sometimes, and he tends to get off on tangents. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Oh, wait a minute, that's me. Okay, so I go online, and I already know the information of this, but I thought I want to look up some resources. I want you to be able to look up stuff. I do a Google search. Here's the words to type in. You can do the same search I did, okay? I'll let you write. You can write this down. One word, electromagnetic. Electromagnetic. I'll spell that, okay. ElectroMagnetic. Okay, electromagnetic, that's the big word. Electromagnetic pulse danger, P-O-L-S-E. Electromagnetic pulse danger. The abbreviation, even though electromagnetic is one word, the abbreviation for this is EMP, electromagnetic pulse. Okay, third thing down, is a report given to the U.S. government. That's the thing I was looking for. It says Report on Nuclear Electromagnetic Pulse. It was given in Congress in 2005. Now, you remember I said earlier, which I yesterday was talking about, we're getting deception in our news. They're lying to us. They're not telling us the important stuff. This is from the Congressional Record, June 9, 2005, entered it into the government, looks like on August 12, 2005, Nuclear Electromagnetic Pulse. And starts talking about the dangers, how this was originally discovered. Let's see, I want to spend a few moments talking about this afternoon, country, 1962, Johnson Island test, the Pacific, blah, blah, blah. The Compton effect was noticed. That was the first time it was noticed. The magnitude of the effects on the ground, hundreds of miles away. It was an electrical discharge that impacted things hundreds of miles away. In Hawaii, 800 miles away, I'm in about the third paragraph down, I'm kind of scanning through it here, the effects over Hawaii, which is 800 miles away, included several totally unexpected things, so there was no instrumentation on Hawaii to record the effects. So they don't know what the total amount of the damage is. Okay, so one of the effects in Hawaii was streetlights went out. Okay, here's the deal. Streetlights are a very simple circuit. You run electricity through it, lights up the bulb, and then you can see down on the street below, right? How much more complex are computers? Your personal computer. If something will take out a street light without being connected to it from hundreds of miles away, what's the condition of your computer going to be? Your electronic ignition in your car, your stereo system, your cell phone, that cell phone tower sticking way up in the air. Right? I mentioned briefly yesterday, which is true. Okay, during Hurricane Katrina, one of the things that was kind of discovered the hard way, although it makes sense once you think about it, is you could have a gas station that's full of gas. Okay, the tanks are full, it's ready to pump gas, but if your electrical power grid goes down, you have no way to pump that gas. There's no way to get it into the cars. Okay? If electricity goes down, there's no way to pump water. If you can't pump water, there's no water in your faucets. You can no longer flush toilets. All your utilities shut down. There's no radio broadcast to tell you what happened. The police cars, how can they talk if their radios go out? Can you go down? Okay, let me ask you this. Can you go down to the auto supply store and get a new electronic ignition for your car if the factories where they make electronic ignitions are also completely shut down. Well, of course, you're not going to worry about that because you're going to be too darn thirsty. Many Americans would probably live for weeks or months afterwards because we have so much food in the stores and enough people have food in their houses people would survive. But you wouldn't know what happened. Everyone would suddenly be in the dark and they'd say, well, there must have been something hit on the power line, and a half hour later, nothing is on, no cars will run, no computers will run, cell phones won't work, you can't contact anybody, you can't call other people from your church, from your work. If it happens during the business day, okay, let me back up and come forward in history. Okay, Pearl Harbor was at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Do you know why they picked 8 a.m. Sunday morning? For maximum effect. They weren't stupid, it was an attack. So the guys are all out, the GIs are all out, Saturday night, partying and drinking and things like that. 8 a.m. Sunday morning, they're all still sleeping in their bunks, right? And that's what happened. It was a surprise attack. That was the intention, was to catch people off guard. 9/11, it was like 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. when they were crashing the planes in the buildings. Why? Because they thought those buildings were going to be full by then. They thought they were going to kill a lot more people. The intention of 9/11 was not to kill 3,000 or 4,000 people. It was to kill 250,000 people. Okay, that was the intention. That's what they want to do. Again, but our media is broken. They're not reminding us of these things. They're downplaying so much and ignoring news that they can ignore, and you and I aren't noticing it. Well, I am, but most people are not noticing it because they're reading their baby food left-wing news. Oh, don't worry about things. Oh, isn't this terrible? Someone was stopped from sexual perversion here. Isn't it? We got to fight so that sexual perversion can be made public and everything like that. Ah, rah, rah, rah. And that's the things that they're concerned about, right? Right? The left wing. The culture of life versus the culture of death. Terry Schiavo, let me jump to a couple things. They kept saying that she was, you know, like a vegetable. She wasn't. She recognized her parents. She responded to her parents. She was mentally disabled, but she was a functioning person until they decided to kill her. And tragically, the man who was the judge who signed the order, he never met her personally, never bothered. Judicial review is wrong. It is unconstitutional. Judges should not, in the constitutional republic that we are in, do not have the right to say they have the final word. They don't. It's unconstitutional. It's not in the Constitution, not in the amendments. And legislative power is supposed to be vested in the Congress. Okay, so now, let me get back here. Someone was going off on tangents again, like they sometimes do. Okay, so here's the best time. Let's say Iran hired me to be a consultant. They hired me to. Okay, this is a bad example. Before I even finish the first sentence, let's say someone was hired as a consultant. Okay, to Iran. You know, when let's destroy the Satan America, something like that. Right. The best time to do it would be about 2:30 p.m. East Coast time on a winter afternoon. Okay? Why? Because almost everybody's at work, and it's cold, and on the West Coast, people haven't had lunch yet, and on the East Coast, 2:30 p.m., it's going to get dark in 2 hours, no one can get back home. Right? Remember the blackout in New York a couple years ago, people walking home? Well, that was a blackout, but it wasn't a complete wipeout of everything where everything stopped. Okay? And the thing is it will never start again. It would be the end of America with electromagnetic pulse. Okay, let me go into the technology a little bit. I haven't explained that. Okay, so what they noticed in 1962, again, go on Google, and I'll give you a quote from a couple articles that you can look up, too. This is in the Congressional Record, 2005. But again, the alarm clocks are broken. The left-wing media isn't telling us what's important. They are collaborating with the enemy to destroy us. Right? Okay, I go into a lot of detail on that. That's my personal opinion as I glance at the things that they report. It's my personal opinion, okay? And I'm saying stop getting your news from them because they're lying to us. And if you know they're lying, if you know they're adding deception in, don't get it. Stop. You know, subtle deception is probably the worst. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. How effective was that? Real effective. Very destructive, right? So a subtle deception could be worse than an outright one. You don't really notice it. You don't see it as much. Subtle changes in the news where they're only telling us half the truth is the worst kind. Okay, electromagnetic, one word, electromagnetic pulse danger. Third thing down says SATC. The mega, no, excuse me, that's an article I'm going to look at here in a couple minutes, and this is just a regular article, but The one more down after that, report on nuclear electromagnetic pulse. We have since tried to determine the effects of what is called electromagnetic pulse produced by a nuclear detonation. We have done that with laboratory dot, 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 okay? And this is from some place called krypton.org/bartlett-060905.txt. And it is a copy of something given to Congress in June of 2005, so 2 years ago. 2 years ago, it was barely even in the news at all, if at all. Okay, so the streetlights go out in Hawaii. So what happens is the explosion produces several things. Okay, a nuclear explosion produces alpha, beta, and gamma radiation, which goes out for several seconds. And each kind is devastating. Alpha can be stopped easily. Beta can be stopped with a thin layer or something. Gamma, though, gamma radiation likes to go through just about anything except lead and concrete. What they learn in the Compton effect is if you do a high-altitude burst, one other effect is an electromagnetic pulse. It's a pulse of electricity. It's like having your computer without a surge protector on it and lightning strikes nearby. Okay, your computer is now wiped out. Only this is much worse because it doesn't need to be connected to the power grid. Anything electronic that is within line of sight can be hit. So if the Iranians had, Jaynes has reported, have you heard of Jaynes? They're out of England. It's a defense-related, they have all kinds of military-related news, and they publish books and things like that. They reported, I believe it was last year, that the Iranians were testing a fake cargo ship in the Caspian Sea. In other words, it looks like just a regular container ship, but it actually is a missile-launching ship. And so what you do is it looks like it's got cargo, and there's all kinds of, there's thousands of these in the world, okay, just standard container ships going from this country to that country, this port to that port, all over the world. It's like not quite a chain, but it's like following the shipping lanes, just go across the ocean one after the other after the other after the other. Okay, so let's say they send this out, and it's set up with one of those Sahab 3 missiles, nuclear tip on the top. And when it's still 100 miles away from the United States, still out in international waters, then the president of Iran, this is not exactly his name, but this is the way I remember it. Ak can't get a job, okay? Ak can't get a job, okay? That's what I heard. Okay. Just checking my volume there. Okay, I was going to listen to hear it. Ak can't get a job. Anyway, so Ak can't get a job, whatever his name is. Let's say he gives the order, yes, destroy Satan America. They're standing against us in world domination, da-da-da-da, whatever it is he wants to say. Then the fake containers, you know, hydraulics move the fake containers aside, the missile launcher sets up, and boom, this missile launches and starts arcing up over the United States. It's immediately detected by NORAD. What is this? What is it? Before it can be intercepted, when it's still, let's say, 50 miles out, but getting to be 100 miles high in the air, and we're talking seconds, less than a minute or two. This is a very short time. You don't have time to respond. And when it gets up to 100 miles high, or maybe if they risked it, 150, 200 miles high, and it's reaching near the U.S. eastern seaboard, and then they detonate it, it would take out the United States, the east coast of the United States, and inland as far as Ohio, as far as eastern Kentucky and Tennessee, maybe Indiana, parts of Indiana. I don't think it would reach Chicago. That's pretty far. But the damage would be at least one-third of the U.S. population, or half, would suddenly be without water, basically, right? If you can't, if you don't allow to have electricity, you can't run water pumps. You can't run gas pumps. Your car stops working. Your cell phone stops working. Folks, you're listening to the Smart Hour. Please stay tuned after these messages. Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Smart Hour. This is your host, Paul Abramson, editor of creationism.org. It is Wednesday, June 20th, 2007. Let me make a couple of promotional announcements and then continue with the program today. We're talking about electromagnetic pulses, which is something that's almost not in the media at all, but which is an important danger to the United States and actually anywhere in the world. The program immediately following this one on truthradio.com or truthradio.info is The Best of Dr. Kent Hovind. You don't want to miss that. It's about 20 minutes from now. And Dr. Hovind's website is www.drdino.com. That's drdino.com, drdino.com. It is a pre-recorded program. It is not live. You will hear people calling in on the phone. You may also hear a phone number given, but please don't try to call in. It is a pre-recorded program. Dr. Hovind gives excellent advice, excellent. His seminar series, in my opinion, is the best seminar series for teaching creation theory, for teaching creation science. The skeptics just hate him. There are over 1,000 anti-Hovind websites on the Internet. I actually, because I read both sides and stuff, I read what some of the skeptics write, and I go, is that the best they can do to try to, you know, say, it can't be true. Creation can't be true. And it is the best, because we are the ones standing on the side of science. The Bible really is literally true. The earth is not millions of years old. I mentioned it earlier in the broadcast that we talk about different aspects of that often on this program. On this program here. Also, let me make another completely different announcement. If you're looking for good theological teaching, I'll tell you an excellent school you should definitely check out, and that's Masters International School of Divinity. Masters International School of Divinity, based in Indiana, and the webpage is www.mdivs.edu, www.mdivs.edu. Masters has solid Bible-based training. It is, most of the classes are distance learning classes. There are also intensive seminars available. Take a look at their webpage, and also there's a free evaluation available. You can look, there's undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral level courses that are available. So please do take a look at Masters if you're looking for some good teaching. There's pastors, there are lay leaders, youth leaders, a wide variety of people who do take classes from Masters. Okay, now we're talking about electromagnetic pulse danger. I'm doing a Google search for electromagnetic pulse danger, about the fourth one down, says report on nuclear thing. Okay, I'm a page down into, this is again given to Congress, and one of these men, he's talking about a personal experience he had in 1999. He's in Vienna, Austria, with 10 members of Congress, several staff members, some members of the Russian Duma, and with some other people, okay? And so it's a very high-level government group, and there's this one man who's very angry at the Americans at this point. And he says at one point, you can read the whole thing if you want, they're sitting in a hotel room talking, his arms are crossed, he's looking at the ceiling, and he says, you spit on us, why should we help you? And he's just very angry, and so he's being very undiplomatic, you could say, okay? Now, he says something to one of the Americans who speaks Russian, and then he turned to this man, the man who is reporting to Congress, and says, did you hear what I said? And this gentleman reporting says, of course I heard what he said, but I didn't understand it because I do not understand Russian. I'm reading directly from this paper. But then it was translated, and here's what he said. If we really wanted to hurt you with no fear of retaliation, we would launch an SLBM, which if it was launched in a submarine at sea, we really would not know for certain where it came from. We would launch an SLMB. We would detonate a nuclear weapon high above your country, and we would shut down your power grid and your communications for 6 months or so. And so, and then another man, another Russian gentleman says, he smiled and said, and if one weapon would not do it, we have some spares. And this man comments, I think the number of the spares is now something like 6,000 weapons. So, but of course, that's the idea of Russia doing it, which of course, if a major country did it, you'd have, it would seem like, if there was the capability of responding, you'd have a direct retaliation, which then may be an answer to the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38, where those people living, let's see the exact quote, I'll go into Bible prophecy some other time, but basically there does appear to be a nuclear exchange, simply looking at the things. But I won't go into that today, okay? In any event, Iran does seem to be testing this kind of thing, where a single weapon, a single nuclear burst, if it's done high in the atmosphere above America, would take out the power grid. It would take out all the satellites above America, because they'd be in range too, right? They're directly overhead. All your cell phone towers would be knocked down for hundreds of miles inland. If you can't get water, I mean, how long will you have bottled water? A few weeks? A couple months? What will neighborhoods be like? It would end America as we know it. Okay, it's just too late. It's too late to prepare for it once it has happened. If you think of Pearl Harbor, okay, at that time, going back in history, people believed, oh, you can't have a war. The Pacific's too big. Well, it did happen. All during the Cold War, you had kind of an acceleration of the concentration of power of nuclear weapons. You had, first it was, the nuclear weapons could be delivered by planes, long-range bombers, and then by missiles after Sputnik went up, late 50s, early 60s, you had the missile gap. And then you had people wanting to defend against the missiles, but you had MIRVs, M-I-R-V, Multiple Intercontinental Reentry Vehicle is what I think that stands for, where a single large rocket could send like 8 or more nuclear weapons that before it reaches the atmosphere on the other side breaks up, and each one then sent to a different target. Okay? So if you look at, anyway, this technology exists today. It was discovered back in 62 by accident. This hasn't happened yet. Now, just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean it can't happen. Before the stock market crashed in 1929, there were people, you know, as you know, if you know from that history at all, I mean, people who jumped out of windows and things like that on that, they had bet, and then, gee, the stock market always goes up, or at least so people thought. Not always, but they were hedging their investments in all kinds of things. But once that happened, of course, then ever since then, it's kind of in the back of people's minds, oh, gee, that can happen. We need to be careful. We need to not let this happen. The bank failures in the 30s led to things where the FDIC insures accounts and stuff like that. Pearl Harbor, where you had, okay, 9/11, that happened. All of a sudden, you know, you got to take your shoes off in airports and things like that. They kept stealing my fingernail clippers. The first few months after 9/11, I was flying pretty often at that time. And so I kept losing my fingernail clippers, but to me it was like, would you guys, you know, get a life and stop stealing my fingernail clippers? When in the history of aviation has someone tried to take over an airplane with a set of fingernail clippers? I mean, honestly. Okay, so anyway, finally, and, you know, knitting needles, all kinds of things that they've decided are, oh, well, let me give you the answer to that, by the way. It is, to me, very disturbing that no one in government seems to have any common sense. Okay, you're at the airport. And they go, oh, look at this. You got, lady, you've got knitting needles in here, your crochet thing. You and Osama, we've been waiting for you to get to the airport, you terrible terrorist types like you are, grandma. You know, what are you, Osama's grandmother, trying to sneak these knitting needles through the line here? Take her aside. Okay. Whatever it is they're going to say, right? And then what they want to do is take the knitting needles and, you know, or whatever the thing is, a pocket knife, you know, all kinds of little things that are, that they've decided are dangerous and things like that. Why not? Every airport has a post office, right? Or it has mail drops. So why not at the security check, don't they have some priority mail envelopes, you know, flat rate priority mail envelopes or boxes, global priority mail boxes with postage, and you can step over to the machine, and rather than just lose the item, you could mail it to yourself, right? Why haven't they done that? It's been over 5 years now. Every day, how many people are losing all kinds of stuff, pocket knives, I mean, all kinds of things that, okay, they've decided this is dangerous, blah, blah, blah. But, some, you know, I used to have a really nice pocket knife. I had left it with someone else, and the person forgot and had it in a carry-on bag. This is like a $30 stainless steel pocket knife, a real nice one. Well, it was lost because you get to the airport, and, of course, they're going like, oh, you terrible criminal, you, how dare you think of having a pocket knife on the plane, right? And so why don't they have set up at the security things where you can say, if you want to, you can mail it to yourself. It'll cost you $4.85, sir. Otherwise, we'll have to take it. I'm very sorry. You know, why not give the person a choice, right? Why wasn't this and why aren't there chairs? What's up with that? You got to take your shoes off and you don't have a chair. You don't have a bank of chairs there for sitting and sit down to put your shoes back on? Okay, I'm sorry, this sounds like pet peeves, but it's like, did none of them have any common sense? I don't think they do, actually, because it's like the dollar coin. You know, once a decade, they've got to come out with another dollar coin that's about the size of a quarter, so no one wants it in their pocket, right? Anyway, whatever, okay, they're going to keep, it's just frightening. How on earth? Such a lack of common sense. Gee, nobody likes our dollar coin just because it, you know, feels in your pocket about the size of a quarter and stuff. We made it look completely different. This is a completely different picture of a person on the front. Anyway, they need to make it a little bit larger. What they need to do is send somebody, I'll do it, to Europe, collect a bunch of different coins. Like I've had some lira, and of course they're all in the euro now, but I mean, the coin that was the lira that was about equivalent of a dollar, and then they had one 5 times that. It was like a coin within a coin. Or go to Japan. They've also, I mean, lots of countries have figured this out. America, they don't seem to be able to figure it out. I don't know why. Excuse me, someone gets to talking too much, and then sometimes start coughing. Okay, so electromagnetic pulse, my bet is that you can probably protect a car for $10 or $20 worth of metal by a shield. You need a thing called a Faraday's cage, F-A-R-A-D-A-Y, Faraday's cage. And if you have that, which can be composed of several kinds of materials, what you're doing is, okay, the pulse is coming in through the atmosphere. It's coming in at the speed of light. Okay, in other words, there's no time to respond. This, you know, it's over. Once an EMP hits in the upper atmosphere, then America is ended that day. Like I said, our media has turned against us, as we know, or those of us who know, who have heard the other side. You know, take a look at this. They're not telling us this is a very real and present danger, and we're not being alerted to. Information is out there. Let me refer to this other article before I forget. But anyway, Faraday's cage, F-A-R-A-D-A-Y. There's not too much out there about Faraday's cages and how to make one for yourself. So I may need to write up an article or something like that. Okay, here's something. This is called SwissAmerica.com. Their webpage is SwissAmerica.com. The Mega Threat EMP Attack, February of 2006. So over a year ago, this is out there, and they're saying that if they were able to get the rocket up to 300 miles high, you could take out the entire continental United States with one missile, along with parts of Canada and Mexico, and all satellites would be gone. Bam. And like I say, okay, your water pump is now broken. Okay, you're going to go to the store and buy a new one? All the ones that were for sale in the store are also fried. Okay? All the ones in the factory where they make them and all the equipment that makes the new ones are also all gone. It is too late. It's too late once it hits. And this could hit any day now. And it's like we're kind of being lulled into complacency. And we're not realizing it. So here's the last paragraph on this. And I'm not familiar with this organization. SwissAmerica.com, Swiss America Trading Corporation. Okay, interesting. Whoever they are. So anyway, they published this. It says here, given the magnitude of the danger, it is astonishing that EMP is hardly ever mentioned when threats to this country from weapons of mass destruction are discussed. This might be considered the ultimate WMD, yet practically the only people aware of its potential for harm are our enemies. So that is true. People are not discussing it. They don't seem to. Here's something. FreeRepublic.com, expert site, electromagnetic pulse as third threat. How are you ever going to get retribution? Who launched the missile? If it came from a container ship, ships can move. Ships are moving around. I mean, what if it has defenses built in? It's been hardened from an EMP attack. And so that ship just, you know, toolies on back and heads on back to Iran or for wherever it came from. Could be from many different countries, lots of countries out there that hate America one way or the other. I mentioned like 2:30 in the afternoon on a winter afternoon would be the optimal time to do it because on the East Coast is two. Oh, well, okay. Anyway, in the West Coast, people haven't had lunch yet. What if you launch two EMPs? One over the West Coast, one over the East Coast. No more America. Folks, thank you for listening to Smart Hour. God bless you. Please tune in tomorrow.